Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Buffalo Bills just now about a month away from NFL free agency, and the Bills and the rest of the league getting set as they get their rosters set, getting ready for the period of free agency. The Los Angeles Chargers had decided not to exercise their contract option on defensive lineman Corey Legit. The career-long Chargers defensive tackle will be a free agent. He had a $9.5 million cap hit. Chargers will not exercise that, so he will hit the free agent market. Niners do something similar with wide receiver Pierre Garçon. Garçon, 32 years of age, trying to struggle to stay healthy the last 2 years in San Francisco, played just a total of 16 games. And the San Francisco 49ers say they will not pick up the contract option on Pierre Garçon. Also from the NFL, a report from ESPN that says several NFL owners have approached NBA Commissioner Adam Silver about becoming NFL Commissioner. Silver did not explicitly confirm that he's been approached by NFL owners, but sources say several owners have tried to persuade him to run the NFL over the course of his 5 years as NBA Commissioner. Silver says, "I'll just say I have not given it any thought." Buffalo Sabres practicing today at KeyBank Center, coming off that 3-1 win over the Islanders on Tuesday. Next up, tomorrow night, the Sabres wrap up their 7-game homestand with a game against the New York Rangers. Sabres and Rangers coming up tomorrow night. And James Harden continues to roll along in the NBA. The Houston Rockets star put himself in rare company last night as he scored 42 points against Minnesota. Now Harden has scored at least 30 points in 31 consecutive games. That ties Wilt Chamberlain for the second longest streak in NBA history with 30 or more points. Amazing. That's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Kasker, moving into our final hour of the show. Happy to have you with us. We're going to make it, Steve. We've got an hour to go. We got Kadri Ismail coming up in a moment or two. Long time, well, not long time, but a significant receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. And he'll be joining us in a couple of minutes to talk about the Ravens after Joe Flacco. What do you think of that?
10-year career. He was, yeah. And it'll be interesting to see the aftermath of the trade and the team that lost the guy who won the Super Bowl. Certainly, we'll ask him about, you know, what soured them on him. Because certainly, while Lamar Jackson was their quarterback and they made it to the playoffs this last season, I don't know that he knocked the socks off. You know, it wasn't a home run.
I don't think so either.
They managed to work their offense around it. But I'll tell you this, it's one of those offenses, when you watch that Baltimore offense, if something ever happened to Lamar Jackson, the Ravens had nothing to go to. Their offense was built around a quarterback that could run. Read options, quarterback sweeps, rollout passes. The whole offense was built around him. If he twists an ankle and can't go, I don't know if you've got anybody that can go in there and run that offense. Everything's got to change, and all of a sudden you're in a hole.
And that's what leads people to believe that Tyrod Taylor might have a role to play there.
Maybe he will. It'll be interesting to see. Tyrod certainly has, now that he's Baltimore, Buffalo, Cleveland, and now he'll bounce somewhere else. There's no question Tyrod is an NFL quarterback. But he has limitations, just like most of them do. But I think at this point in his career, everybody knows exactly what they're getting with him. So I'm pretty sure somebody will have a plan for him if they do sign him.
Let's take a couple of phone calls here. We'll go to Jeff in Buffalo. Hello, Jeff. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
How you doing today?
Jeff?
We're having bad luck with our,
yeah, what's
with
going
our phones.
On with the call?
This is like the second one in a row. It usually doesn't happen.
Jeff, are you there? No, sir. We'll go to Jeff Frank in Webster, New York. Frank, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
I'm suspecting user error, Murph.
We may have some issues with the phone.
We've just been told.
I have no more calls.
No, we're not. Don't do it. Don't do it, Murph. Don't do it. Stay with me.
Okay, go.
Yeah, all right. Go.
Tweet sheet. Which AFC East teams are the neediest going into the personnel season? Brian Single Wing says, needy teams are usually desperate also. When you're desperate, you make mistakes. The Jets and Dolphins seem to be the most desperate. The Bills need to take advantage and be smart over the next couple of years. It's the right time to make a move for number one in the division. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Bill, Jets and Dolphins seem to be the most desperate. I would think the desperate. I think the Dolphins will be with their quarterback need, which is not to say they will choose a quarterback in the first round or early in this draft. I don't know if there's anybody who would get my interest that much. But he's right. Single Wing is right. The Bills need to be smart over the next few years because, look, things are changing. I know it's hard to imagine now 2.5 weeks since the Patriots' latest Super Bowl win, but we know that that is going to come to an end soon, right? A year or two. Somebody's got to step up, right? And why not the Bills? They got to be smart. And this is why this is a big year, a big draft year for the Bills.
Absolutely.
And a big free agent year. All right. On the line right now, we're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens, the team that traded away its all-time leading passer just yesterday as Joe Flacco goes to out west to the Denver Broncos. Joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, former Ravens NFL analyst, co-host on WJZ-TV for pre- and post-game shows during the Ravens game, longtime outstanding receiver at Syracuse and in the NFL for 10 seasons with the Vikings, the Dolphins, the Saints, the Ravens, and Indy. Happy to have Qadre Ismail on the line with us. Qadre, John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Steve, for having me.
Steve and I think that we might be in the minority here, I believe, but I think we hold Joe Flacco in higher regard than many people in the NFL and fans in the NFL and many Baltimore Ravens fans. What can you tell us about that? Are people glad that Flacco's gone, do you think?
So I think the NFL at large, they have a certain bias, I guess, towards Joe Flacco, good or bad. And I think part of that is just he is a quarterback that goes out and does his job, does it well, and at the end of the day, he's not necessarily going to create any major headlines. If you look at the telecast, he seems like he's, you know, bored. If you look at, you know, times where he seems disinterested, but those that are here in Baltimore, those that have been around the team and come to the team like I have, you definitely see a totally different side than what might be, you know, a national view, and that's a very fiery, competitive quarterback who has the Super Bowl champion MVP title by his name.
Yeah.
I think he's a very good, strong quarterback.
Yeah, and what do you think led to fans in general or whatever maybe souring on Joe? He started to struggle in the last couple of years with some injuries, all different kinds of injuries. It hasn't been one chronic thing except maybe, I don't know if you want to look at his back and say those are kind of always a secretive injury. But why do you think – what do you think the biggest reason is for Joe's, you know, sliding back in the opinion of the fan base?
Well, I think – part of the fan base was expecting more from Joe. And what I mean by that, after he won the MVP and, you know, hey, the Ravens are Super Bowl champions, this is an opportunity to, you know, bet on yourself. He did. Did he get the big fat contract? Absolutely he did. But from there, it was 500 football across the board for the Ravens. And, yes, you mentioned his injuries, but it wasn't where he took that next step. People would compare him to Matt Ryan. And if you look at it, you know, from a numbers aspect of things, since they both were in the same draft class, it was one of those where they wanted to see the larger numbers. They wanted to see him produce. Now, with that said, yeah, Matt Ryan had guys like Julio Jones to throw the ball to. I think he had Anquan Boldin, but then once – you know, Anquan's time was up, they shipped him out. They didn't re-sign Torrey Smith. They drafted a Breshad Perriman who wound up, you know, being a draft bust. They went out and got Steve Smith Sr., who was strong and good and all that, but I think ultimately the numbers in which they felt, you know, Joe could produce just didn't materialize.
With Qadre Ismail, who follows and covers the Baltimore Ravens, used to play with him. Qadre, I was saying this to Steve. So with the trade away of Joe Flacco, the Ravens go all in now on Lamar Jackson. I can't get that playoff performance against the Chargers out of my head. What do you think the Ravens think of the way he played in that wild card playoff game, and what would give them confidence that he should be their guy moving forward?
Yeah, I think part was the fact that he was a rookie, and we all know that there is regular season football. There is postseason football. The postseason football is, it turns it up a notch. The intensity from the scouting of a team to game planning. I think most teams, you know, they recognize if they see a team in the, you know, beginning of the year that they're going to change over the course of the year. And I think for, you know, the Chargers, they were in a scenario where they didn't really know what to expect the first time out. And I think they felt like, okay, well, we're going to develop a game plan that we will recognize what to do against, you know, this really talented young guy, Lamar Jackson. And by putting in, what was it, 7 defensive backs, their dime package and the way in which they played him was a lot different than where they played him in the beginning. And you're going with your first-round quarterback, and you're saying, look, you're our ride or die. There's no going back on that. And I think the reason why everybody's like, oh, boy, you know, why are we sitting here watching this? It's because you knew that you had Joe Flacco healthy, ready to go on the sideline. I think that's what stuck in people's mind, as opposed to, you know, once the game was over with, chalking it up to, well, they're going to be good for years to come because they have Lamar, and he will learn from this. I know he's going to learn from it. I know he's going to be better. But I think the fact that you had a veteran quarterback that's been there, done that, as a Super Bowl MVP, I think that that's what people were expecting. I definitely know that's what people were expecting here in Baltimore, and why there was so much criticism.
Yeah, and I wonder too, Kadri, was, from your perspective, was there ever any chance that they were going to bench Lamar Jackson in that playoff game and put Joe Flacco in there? And if not, why not?
Yeah, I think they talked about that. But I think ultimately they recognize, and I even, you know, was watching the sideline. You could see where Joe, for the most part, the first half, he was just sitting on the sideline the entire time. You know, yeah. The offense would get on the field. He's like, I'll go back, sit on the sideline, chill. And it wasn't until like the second half where you kind of saw him get up and walk around. And, you know, so he was like, ooh, is this going to be the drive or is this going to be the series? It wasn't going to happen unless Lamar just simply got hurt. I think they felt like, you know, give the guy a chance, and if he's our guy, he's going to be our guy, and they stuck to it.
What's next? Joe Flacco's off the roster as a quarterback. There's been rumblings that Tyrod Taylor may come back. He backed up Joe Flacco. He could back up Lamar Jackson. Their offense became something very different, obviously, with Lamar Jackson at quarterback than it was with Joe Flacco. What's next for the Ravens offense?
Yeah, so now it's all right. Well, what do you do better? How do you get, you know, the run pass option going better? You know, how does he, as a quarterback, and this is John Harbaugh, his end of the year, you know, interview, but also his conversation that he always has with his team. It's, look, we recognize we have to get better. You were good and you did what you needed to do, but you will not be good enough when you come back if you stay the same. And therefore, you got to go out and create those changes. And I think that conversation was the same conversation that he had with everybody on the roster that was projected to come back. And I think that was a conversation that he had with Lamar. And part of it was, you know, improving upon his ability to throw the ball. And I think for them, they go away from Marty Morningwig as the offensive coordinator. Greg Roman gets elevated to that position. And now it's, okay, what do you do as a offense to add in wrinkles to what Lamar does as a strength with running the ball? And how do you, as a passing attack, how can you get the big play down the football field more consistently? Because that's what was missing in the offense. Throwing the ball down the football field consistently, that's going to be the next challenge for him.
And this season started out, John Harbaugh looked like, after the owner, Steve Bisciotti, said, you know, he did consider replacing John Harbaugh, and the season ends up with a 4-year extension. What happened in that transformation? It couldn't have all been just Lamar Jackson.
It was a 4-5 record, and you're staring down the abyss. And in that press conference, John Harbaugh looked like a guy that was very much going to be fired. And the pressure and the intensity of it all, it was all there. But I give him credit because he did go away from a franchise quarterback that put them in that position of a 4-5 record. and he went with a young guy. He totally changed his offense, and we all know it is extremely difficult to do that. And they put him back in the playoffs. You have a new coordinator in Wink Martindale, and you literally see a tremendous effort from the defense revitalize as well. So it shows once again that mid-season, which is something that you don't see normally in the NFL, a change, and that change comes from the leadership of John Harbaugh. I think they felt like, who else is going to come in and who else is going to be able to run the ship the way we want it to be run and have the success? And they got them in the playoffs. So I think all of that pointed towards John Harbaugh saving his job and getting the extension.
We're on the line with Qadri Ismail, longtime NFL receiver and longtime analyst of the Baltimore Ravens. Covers them on WJZ-TV in Baltimore. A couple of questions about non-quarterbacks, guys that interest me a little bit as they approach free agency. John Brown, what do you have, just the 1 year, Qadri, with Baltimore? Maybe been two? But he's probably going to hit the free agent market, right? Does he have a lot to offer, do you think, for interested teams?
He does.
He had the 1 year, right?
Yeah, the 1 year. And he was betting on himself, and he was like, look, ironically enough, I'm coming to Baltimore. There's another guy that's betting on himself, and that's Joe Flacco. And even though Lamar Jackson is the number one pick, I feel like if I come here, you know, I'm going to get, you know, some opportunities to get the ball. Joe likes to throw the deep ball, and I'm that guy. He looked good. And I really thought that, you know, John was going to, you know, be that 1,000-yard receiver with multiple touchdowns, and it's about signing him back and figuring out, you know, all the things with, you know, Joe and him. But, yeah, that's all in the rearview mirror. I think he would be in his best interest to go elsewhere because you're looking at a team that's probably going to need more of a run-blocking receiver and, you know, a little bit more physical kind of a receiver than what he would actually bring to the table.
Do you think Lamar Jackson will be a lure to guys, free agents on the markets, particularly guys like Le'Veon Bell, who's looking for a place, a great running back in a team that wants to run the football a lot? You think Le'Veon Bell is on the table for the Ravens?
So you got me, my drool. I'm drooling right now because my goodness, we've seen him twice a year, and Le'Veon is the real deal. I always thought he was the best back in football. And now if you look at this division with Kareem Hunt now going to be a part of the division with the Cleveland Browns, I just think that you need to do whatever you need to do to surround Lamar with as much talent as possible. And with a Le'Veon Bell, you're saying you don't have to run the ball, Lamar. Give it to a talented back. You also have some other guys and Kenneth Dixon and as far as Gus Edwards, you know, both guys really did a remarkable job, but that's a whole different level when you talk about what Le'Veon can do and obviously throwing the ball out of the backfield too. So yeah, I know that free agency is going to be interesting. I know that Eric DaCosta, this is his first run as GM and having the final say. I'll be curious to see how he, you know, kind of puts forth his game plan.
One more guy, player I want to ask you about, Qadri, and that is a guy who essentially has been the face of the Ravens franchise for at least the last decade, Terrell Suggs, hitting free agency. Does he have more to give as far as a player, and will he give it to Baltimore, or will he be ready to move, do you think?
I think the price has to be right. I think it always comes down to, you know, the business side of it with, you know, the Ravens, and obviously they, you know, they consider Terrell Suggs one of those foundation pieces that Baltimore has had the privilege of having over the years and just making a defensive toughness mindset for what this organization stands for. And it's going back to Ray Lewis, of course. But with that said, yeah, you know, it depends upon what, you know, he's asking for. And I think he is a strong situational player, in my opinion. I think that's what he would bring to the table for any team that would be looking to hire his services.
Well, Ravens are coming here to Orchard Park this season, Qadri, and all of a sudden they look like one of the more interesting teams over the next couple of months here, at least in the NFL. Would you agree?
They certainly have made a tremendous splash with kind of going away from this, you know, offensive system where it's just slinging around the football field. Yeah. We witnessed 13-play drives that went down the football field for touchdowns without throwing a pass. So, wow. Yeah, the Bills and the rest of the league, they've taken notice, and Orchard Park is going to be it's going to be an exciting and interesting time.
Condrey, we always appreciate your work, and thank you for cutting out a little time for us today. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks. Condrey Ismail, NFL and Ravens, Baltimore Ravens analyst, played on the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens, Super Bowl 35, played 10 seasons in the NFL. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated. You agree with me? I mean, look, Suggs is going to hit free agency. That's crazy. John Brown, I've made it plain to you how much I value him. I think he could be a premium free agent wide receiver acquisition for the Buffalo Bills. Now, Lamar Jackson, they're all in with Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. RG3 is in free agency down there.
Right. He said,
they got a lot going on in Baltimore.
Condrey Ismail, you think about a team that would be in the bidding war for Le'Veon Bell as well. We asked him about that, and he said, man, they would love it because he hammered him twice a year throughout his career with the Steelers. And to take Le'Veon Bell off the Steelers and put him on your team, that's an exponential improvement for your club trying to win that division. And that's, how many times have we seen the Ravens Steelers go at it and for the division title? I mean, they need that kind of guy on their team. And to subtract him from the Steelers roster, that's huge.
We're going to get the Ravens Bills for the second consecutive year, and I believe the third time in the last 4 years.
You didn't get them 2 years? I think we got them 2 years ago. Maybe 3 years.
They opened up there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Two years apart.
That's right.
And they're coming here. We don't know, obviously, the dates or the schedule, right. But Ravens are coming here to
watch Park.
Back on the schedule. All right, a break here. We're coming back with more. You can join us and let us know what you think on Twitter, I guess, is the way to go with the phone problems we've had. What do you think of who's the neediest personnel team left in the AFC East? That's number one. And what do you think about the prospect of a new commissioner, Adam Silver, approached by some NFL owners to leave the NBA and be NFL commissioner? Thoughts on that? Tweet it in to us. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Got phone issues, so we would invite you to call, but we can't get you on the air.
That's right.
So I'm going to give you Steve's...
State of the art, Murph.
Let me give you Steve's personal cell number. You can call him with...
call me and we'll just
716...
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that to you, Steve. We're here for another half hour. We got a ways to go here, and thanks to Condrey Ismail. I don't know, what did he say about Joe Flacco that... we never asked him this specifically, but how will Joe Flacco be remembered? And I guess I asked him how is he regarded in Baltimore. Not so well, I got the sense from Kyrie.
You know
right?
What I get from, and I keep forgetting this when I think about him, because I see him on the field, and he throws it like...
He's got a great arm.
He's got a great arm, a sweet delivery, quick release, very accurate, strong. I mean, the guy throws it. He's an elite thrower. But the thing that keeps him from being an elite quarterback, in my opinion, one of the main things, and I always get this, and you can poo-poo it if you want. I think it's not,
I love poo-pooing
it's stuff. Not important or whatever. But okay. Here's what it is. He's got a flat heartbeat. The guy's got zero personality in the huddle, zero personality in meetings, zero fire in his speech.
How do you know that?
Well, I've seen it. I've been in meetings with him, and I see other guys.
Condrey said that's a perception. I think Condrey told us that's really not true. He's seen him as a competitor.
That's the perception.
Right.
And I think that's the one thing that he doesn't do. I don't know that he is a guy that lights a fire under his teammates. I think he does. I think Condrey Ismail has alluded to it. He does his job and expects others to do theirs. And if they don't, well, okay. Yeah. Let's see if we can. Let's do better next time, or let's find somebody who can do that job better, and we'll try and win that way. That's why he was successful with Ray Lewis on the team. Ray Lewis did all of that. Ray Lewis was the heartbeat and the soul and the fire and the furnace of the entire club and the entire organization.
Well, let's face it. When Joe Flacco shows up there on a team with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, et cetera, Terrell Suggs, he doesn't have to be the emotional fire of that team. He's got world class emotional leaders.
Right, and I think they've found out that since those guys have gone, he doesn't have it in him to be that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one thing that he lacks. I don't think he made the Baltimore Ravens Joe Flacco's team. I don't think it was ever Joe Flacco's team. And I think as a quarterback, you've got to make an effort to try and do that. And I think that's one of the shortcomings I noticed from afar. I heard it from Kadri in our last interview, too, I think is in there. I think he said he tried to come to his defense and say, hey, listen, he is a fiery competitor, but he's not a fiery leader. You know, he's not a guy who, you know, pounds his fist on the table in meetings. He's kind of a flatline, steady guy who, you know, it's, I think it's hard to rally around guys like that. I think that may be one of the shortcomings.
The calculation they have made, Eric DaCosta, the new general manager there, and the Ravens decision makers, the calculation they have made is that we believe Lamar Jackson is best for us, next for us. I'm just not convinced of that based on what I saw last year. He was okay last year. Of the five rookie starting quarterbacks, first rounders last year, he was number five, I believe, in terms of what he showed and what he can do for that team. He was okay. But to commit to part ways with Flacco as quickly and as decisively as they have done and turn things over to a second-year quarterback who was okay in his first year, that's just – I question that. I do question that move by the Ravens.
Well, I think they got pushed into a place where they didn't want to have a $27 million quarterback at a backup position.
I understand that.
And I think it became a financial business decision. And one you're going to make – if you're going to make that, you got to take the baggage that goes with it. And in this case, it's going head and shoulders, feet first, both feet, whatever you want to say it, is jumping all in with Lamar Jackson. And that's where they're at right now. Okay. And I don't have a problem with it. They had a good team and a good vibe, and Lamar Jackson did some good things, but their running game is a handful. And I was at the game that Kadri Ismail spoke about. It was like a 13-play drive, and they never threw it. And they went right into the end zone. And that set the tone for the entire game. So if you have the ability to do that, hey, roll with it. And that's what the Ravens are going to do this year.
A couple of tweets that we will mention, not necessarily in the tweet sheet, but people responding to issues. We were talking about offensive line issues, and a tweet from Joe Katz Sr. He says, get Mark Schlereth on the show to talk about the offensive line. He is excellent. Had him out at the Super Bowl. You're right. He is excellent. Yeah. He is a guy. We got Eric Wood on tomorrow's show. We'll ask him about offensive line play and how difficult it is to transition from a college offensive lineman to the NFL. So that's coming up tomorrow. As far as Goodell, should Goodell be replaced? A couple of tweets on this. Doug Briggs says, the NFL owners seem to get what they want. In the NBA, it's more of a player's way. I cannot see the NFL wanting to go in that direction.
I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, Goodell works for the owners. He makes that clear and obvious. Some people think to his detriment. I don't necessarily think that. But he does work for the owners. There's no question about that. And carries out the directives of the owners, not the players, not the fans, not the partners, not the media for sure. Buffalo fan tweets, a new commissioner, what about the fans? Good grief, the NFL is becoming a league of billionaire and millionaires and high-income fans and markets. What's that got to do with the commissioner?
I don't know. He's ranting.
Okay, we take rants.
Yes, we do.
And one more on this. Old Man 101. Right. Tailor-made for our target audience. That's just doing it. Yes, the NFL does need a new commissioner. It's time for a change. And John Murphy needs Airborne. It works. Thank you, Dr. Roldman.
If you show up sick tomorrow, I'm going to be mad at you.
I'm trying. I'm going to work on it. I won't show up sick.
Are we going to do NFL True False?
Do you want to do NFL True False?
I actually do.
Do you want to do it? Because you did a great job with it yesterday.
We didn't do it yesterday. We skipped it yesterday.
Oh, 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Do you know who the sponsor is?
Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese.
Boom!
I got a roar from the control room as well. Okay, here we go. NFL True False, number one. NFL teams should commit more to running back duos. I will say true to that. I think it's true. I think you can maximize your roster more so when you get roll fresh guys through there. And if you can get a guy that complements your number one guy, either a big, strong, heavy guy that comes in and pounds it, or whether you get two guys that are identical and just put fresh legs on the field, I think you get a lot out of it, and it does maximize your roster. And I think I say true. You got to commit more to those guys.
Can I give that a limited true? Because I see the value having a change-up back, a different style of back. I get all that. But if you've got a quality running back, if you've got LeSean McCoy running well, I don't want to commit to a half-and-half split of carries. No, no, no. I want there's only a half dozen or so in the league. LeSean is one of them when he's good and healthy and ready to go. I don't want to take carries away from him just to say, well, we've got a nice tandem here of running backs. It's a limited true. That's what it shows up. A limited true. Yeah. To a certain extent, yes. You need two. You need to have an option somewhere to go if the other guy's not running well. But if you've got a really good back.
Well, you got to have, you here's
know,
the thing.
Sony Michel is a really good back, splits reps, so a little bit there in New England. I'm okay with what they do with him. I think Michel gets the majority of the snaps, but they also work the other guys in, and I think they got it right there in New England.
Let me give you an example of why I think you should just say true instead of limited true. One, the Los Angeles Rams, they got Todd Gurley, franchise back. Last year, he was a candidate for the MVP. This year, he had a very good year. Late in the year, they signed C.J. Anderson, and all of a sudden, Todd Gurley is ineffective in the championship game. They pull him, put C.J. Anderson in, and he's very effective. You got to be committed to having two guys that you will – hand the ball to, even if one becomes predominantly the guy who is started as the second guy. You just got to be ready to do that.
I'm not quite sure where it went wrong, though, with Todd Gurley. They basically benched him in the last couple of weeks. I'm not sure what went on.
He stunk.
I think he could have used more carries in the championship game and in the Super Bowl as well. I don't know that he stunk.
All right, let's go to NFL True False number two. Redskins must draft first-round quarterback with Alex Smith's uncertainty. I would say false.
Yeah.
They don't have to draft a guy in the first round. Certainly, Alex Smith has been in the league a long time. He's coming to the end of his career, and he may not be able to come back and play this year at all. But there's some free agent quarterbacks that are out there that may be a better fit short-term. And I don't like this crop of quarterbacks coming out in the NFL draft this year anyway. So I think the Redskins should do just the opposite. They should sign a guy, maybe even get Case Keenum if they want to from Denver, take that contract over. And then when Alex Smith's healthy, plug him in. And in the interim, when you've got those two guys playing for you, find your quarterback of the future someplace else. But this draft, I don't think, is the place to do it.
I got false on this one, too. The Redskins draft 15th. They're, you know, who are the top quarterbacks in this draft? Kyler Murray? He doesn't merit the 15th pick. He may go sooner than that, but you're making a mistake if you reach for him that high.
Most people have Drew Locke from Missouri as the number one guy.
I saw him at the Senior Bowl, not that impressed.
Right.
And I don't think he's a top half of the draft pick either. He probably will be chosen in the top half of the draft. Dwayne Haskins, a guy highly regarded, the Ohio State quarterback. No, the Redskins don't have to commit to a first-round quarterback draft. That'd be a mistake. They might do it. They just might do it. But no, right. I would not do it.
All right. So both of us say false. All right, number three, Lamar Jackson will make the Pro Bowl in 2019.
I can't say false fast enough.
I'm going to say true.
Oh, come
because
on.
Because all the really good quarterbacks are not going to go, and Lamar Jackson will be the last guy standing.
Well, Lamar Jackson is not a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback.
He may.
Not yet.
He may.
Maybe in a couple years down the road.
I'm
going to
say true. I'm saying true. Mark it down.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Last one. NFL True False number four. The New England Patriots will acquire wide receiver Demaryius Thomas.
They might. I don't know. What will it do for him? It's not a difference maker at this age.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, but let's face it.
Can I answer true or false with I don't care? Because that's basically Demaryius Thomas is not going to be
true or false with choke and die.
He's not a difference maker. I mean, I don't think he is. He's past his prime. The Patriots, go ahead. If you want Demaryius Thomas, knock yourself out.
If he's
out.
Got something to give and they can use him, they probably will. But you can bet that the New England Patriots are going to draft and sign guys that are unexpected. They will sign mid-level free agents, and whoever they sign is going to be able to and in a position to and be motivated to earn their contract. The Patriots are better than any other organization at not having any money spent on their roster that they don't get value for.
Josh Gordon?
Well, they got some things out of him during the season. He was starting to play for them. He caught some touchdown passes for them during a season when their offense was struggling. He gave him another dimension, and he did it from the second game he played for him. He caught a touchdown pass. So, I would say that. They get as much out of their roster as anybody in the NFL, and you can bet they're going to do it again this offseason. That is NFL True False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Thank you.
Can I respond to your ridiculous Patriots love fest? Nah, whatever. Look, yeah, they get they win in championships. Yeah, they're getting more out of the roster than anybody else. But they have plenty of personnel failings. They're not a good drafting team, the New England Patriots. They really aren't. We'll get more into that as we get closer to the draft.
Seriously?
Yeah,
because I don't really spend much time thinking about their drafts.
They don't have a great record in the draft. They really don't. They lucked out on a six-round pick at quarterback a couple of years ago who was going to the Hall of Fame and won six Super
Bowls.
And
let me tell you something. Say what you want about how they do, what's happened to them since then. That was absolutely dumb luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like Belichick's, what, third draft, second or third draft that they had there? He had Bledsoe for a couple of years. And then they had, yeah, that was absolutely lucky.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Okay, what have we learned from today's show? We learned that the phones don't work. That's number one. What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and the home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We'll get the phones. We have to get the phones good for tomorrow, right? We can't do another show without phones. We had Spencer Long. You're looking. Do I respond to that?
What do I say to that?
We had Spencer Long on the show today. Brand new Buffalo Bills offensive lineman. And he talked about what sold him on signing with the Buffalo Bills this week.
The thing that really sold me here was they sold me for, you know, coming in and bringing a guy that's, you know, trusting me that I'm going to work hard and be a team player and, you know, I'm going to try to do whatever I can to help the Bills in whatever way they ask. And, you know, at this point in my career, I just want to play, contribute, and win. And they know that, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm not going to, you know, be an ego guy and not going to make it about me. And they know that, you know, from doing research, I'm that type of guy, which, you know, really gave me a lot of faith in the organization that their values are in the right place. And I'm super excited to work with the staff and get to work in Buffalo. And
Spencer Long did that interview from a shooting range somewhere.
That's what I was thinking. Gunshots right in the background.
Spencer, is everything all right? Oh, is that the gym he said? What kind of a gym? Also on the show today, moments ago, Qadree Ismail, former NFL wide receiver, former color analyst on the Baltimore Ravens radio network, covers the Ravens for radio and TV outlets in Charm City, Baltimore, Maryland. We asked Qadree, what is the perception of Joe Flacco in Baltimore, especially as it relates to what the perception is around the country, around the NFL? Here's what Qadree had to say.
Just he is a quarterback that goes out and does his job, does it well, and at the end of the day, he's not necessarily going to create any major headlines. If you look at the telecast, he seems like he's, you know, bored. If you look at, you know, times where he seems disinterested, but those that are here in Baltimore, those that have been around the team and covered the team like I have, you definitely see a totally different side than what might be, you know, a national view. And that's a very fiery, competitive quarterback who has the Super Bowl champion MVP title by his name. Yeah. I think he's a very good, strong quarterback.
Interesting take from Qadree Ismail. You know, he hit on something that's always bothered me around the NFL for decades now, Stephen. People, and believe me, I know the only way you can pay attention is to watch games on TV. I get that. Many times, though, I hear it less now, but many times people would watch a game and say, well, this team looked disinterested. They looked like they didn't care. Well, when they're down like 31 to nothing in the fourth quarter, they're going to look disinterested. They're going to look like they don't care. I always used to, and I don't do it, I have to do it much anymore, caution people from making broad, sweeping generalizations about players and teams based on what they see sideline demeanor, you know, how they look on the sideline. I don't think it matters much.
I will say this, though. I've seen so many games where teams come in, and it's not that, for instance, a team like Baltimore, who's playing well, who's headed to the Super Bowl or whatever, a playoff caliber team, playing a team like the Cleveland Browns when they were going 0-16. The Ravens will jump out on a team 28 to nothing like that. I've seen it happen. I'm just using these two teams as for no particular reason, just to call them out. But the Ravens will jump out, get a big lead, and you'll be able to tell that they think that by their body language and subtle things that they do, play selection, the way they run on and off the field, that they have kind of raised up and said, okay, I think this game is won. And in the next two or three series, the Cleveland Browns will go bang, 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 touchdown, bang, 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 touchdown, bang, 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 field goal. And all of a sudden, it's a much different thing. And my point is, in football, your emotional content is more important than in any other professional sport. It shows up in a big way in a team atmosphere. That's why momentum is such a big word in football. It is a collective perception of your chances to win this game. And it hits all the entire 53-man roster the same thing, the same time. And that's why you get a momentum swing for one team and against another. One team, this momentum swings against them because they think, you know, as a collective unit, hey, we got this. So this momentum swings away from them because their emotional content changes. And I think that is more prevalent and evident in football during a game than any other sport.
I don't know. We can talk about that. We don't have a lot of time to talk about it today, but I would tell you this. I'm not one of them, but there are people who would laugh at your characterization of momentum. There are people who think there's no such thing as momentum. You've heard it.
Yeah, I think I can articulate what it is. Momentum may not be an accurate word to use in that situation, but I know what they're talking about, and I think I could articulate it if you give me a chance. But
a chance tomorrow.
Yeah, all right.
3 hours tomorrow. Good all show right. tomorrow
we'll
with
end
Eric
up the
Wood.
Week with my lessons in momentum.
Eric Wood's going to join us tomorrow. Bill Barnwell and Joe Biscaglia from Channel 7, all of them on the show with us tomorrow. Our Twitter poll today, which team in the AFC East is the neediest in terms of personnel? The Dolphins say 45% of you, 39% say the Bills, 14% say the Jets, 2% say the Super Bowl champions. Production assistants from George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble. Our producer is Jay Harris. We're back tomorrow to finish off the week, 12 noon to 3 p.m. with One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.